Good morning, everyone. Didn't they do a great job? All right. Hey, before I get into the message, I do have a couple prayer requests I want to share. My son Sam just shared one with me, and I had another one actually I was coming up with. So he has a friend whose mom just randomly passed unexpectedly, and friend's names are Sam and Josiah, did you say? So I just want to take a moment, pray for them, because it sounds like a big surprise to them. And I have one more that I want to share today. I've known about this one for a while, but I've been put on hold from sharing it because this person didn't want me to share it while she was here because she didn't really want all the attention put on her. But Diana Bassey is going in for surgery this week. She has a cancerous tumor in her lung that she's going in for. And so just really want to be praying for her too this morning. And I kept asking her to let me bring her up to pray while she was here, but she said she just couldn't take all the attention that she thought she would get. So she kind of wanted to me to do it while she wasn't here, so I'm doing that now. So that'll be this week. I think it's on Tuesday, if I'm right, that's when that's happening. So let's go to the Lord and pray about these things. Heavenly Father, first of all, I want to thank you that we can be here together and that we can lift our voices up to you. And we realize that as we celebrate, there are people that are going through very hard times and challenging circumstances. We lift them up to you, and we know that this is what this is really all about, Lord. And so I pray for these young men that their mom has just died, Lord, for Sam and Josiah and their whole family and whoever else is part of that family, and all the other friends that are probably hurting and surprised. I don't know all the details, but I want to lift them up to you and pray that you would comfort them and help them and guide them through this very difficult time, and that you would shine light in what seems like a very dark time, Lord. And I pray for Diana. I pray over her surgery. I pray that it's completely successful. I pray that you give the doctors wisdom and skill as they do what they do, and that you would lift her up, help her in her recovery. Lord, be with her husband, Rod, also, as he's going through a cancer of his own, Lord. I pray for him also, and I lift him up to you too. So just lift up their whole family to you and ask you to be glorified through this situation. Thank you so much. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So I love the last song talking about the blood being applied. And before we get too much into this, let me just share with you what this is really all about. First of all, I want you to know, if you're visiting, we're just so glad you're here. Welcome. We really appreciate you being here. You're always invited. We love to have people here. And every week we meet because we believe in Jesus and we love Jesus and we believe in the gospel that's presented in the Bible. And the gospel, what that means is just good news. It's good news. The good news. The good news is something that we all need to be aware of, and it's offered to all of us today. So if somebody invited you to be here today, they did a really great thing. They invited you to be here so you can hear this good news and decide for yourself, you know, and decide if you want this for your life. But how many of you have heard this good news before and decided that I want that in my life? I want to be saved. I want what Jesus has to do. Have you decided that today? Have you decided that already? You've come here pre-decided. You've already known. But if that's you, then we're building each other up in that. We're strengthening each other in that. We're going through it together. But the good news is simply this. That we're not here by accident. We don't just exist by accident, but we've been designed by our Creator God, who created all this and brought all this into existence, gave us the life that we have, put us here in this earth, and loves us, and loved us from the beginning. But long, long ago, back in the garden, man was presented with exactly one law, which is don't eat from this tree. And even though man could do anything else he wanted in the whole garden, he just couldn't eat from that one tree. Mankind sinned. And when man sinned, the Bible says that sin entered the world and death entered the world at the same time. And because of the fall of man and what man did in the garden, we all have sin in our lives. We are all born sinners. We're born under that curse. We live in a fallen world. That's why we have death and disease and unexpected things that happen. We have cancers. We have all that. Everything that's really broken and wrong in this world is caused by sin. Now, I'm not saying that people get sick because of a particular sin or something like that. It's the whole concept as a whole, the whole thing. But what that sin does is it separates us from God. We cannot be in the presence of a holy God. We are not able to go to heaven and spend eternity with God when we die if our sins are not dealt with. And God being God, and God being just and righteous, but also merciful and full of grace, provided a way for us to be forgiven of our sins. But he only provided one way. And that's through Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And there's not a single one of us that can get to heaven any other way. We can't get there by doing good works. We can't get there by going to church enough, by reading the Bible enough. We can't get there by taking care of the homeless. Like, none of those things will get us to heaven. It's only by the applied blood of Jesus Christ. So how can the blood of Jesus Christ be applied to you? It could be applied to you if you hear the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believe it and you receive it in your heart. And you trust Jesus. That's what he's really looking for. He's not looking for you to perfect yourself. He will change you, but he's not looking for you to perfect yourself first and then come to him. He is looking for you to believe that he loved you enough that he came and he died for you. But it doesn't stop there, because he asks us and he calls us to believe in something, and this is what we celebrate today. That is harder to believe than just that somebody died for you, because people will die for you and people have died for you. In fact, soldiers lay down their lives. People have laid down their lives as missionaries so that people could hear the Gospels. People have laid down their lives so that we can have the Bibles that we have. Lots of people have died, but you know what? There's only one man in the history of the world who's died and then on the third day taken up his own life again and rose from the dead. And that's Jesus Christ. And so that's what we're called to believe. That's what the Bible tells us to believe. Believe that he laid down his life for us, because we're all sinners. By the way, if you're visiting here and you're like, I'm not used to being here, I don't know about these people, I don't know about church people, let me just tell you about church people and who church people are. We're a bunch of broken people. Amen. We're a bunch of people that have sinned. We're a bunch of people that have all the same problems that everybody else has. But hopefully, if we're part of the church and we're hearing this again and again, we're people that come here and are part of this because we believe that Jesus died for us. And we believe that he lives for us. And we believe that he's offered to come and to live in our lives and to indwell us and to be with us and to be with us forever. And so this is the good news. It's a free offer. So when we sing about that blood being applied, that's what it's all about. And so this moment when Jesus resurrected from the dead, honest and truly, the victory was won. The victory was won. The victory was won. And the victory is right there for you, and it's right there for me. And all we have to do is receive it as a free gift with faith. Amen? All right, please pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here, to preach, and to share, Lord. I just pray that you will open up all of our hearts to what we read and we see and we hear today, and help us to live each day celebrating and remembering the resurrection and having that hope and that power of your resurrection in our lives. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so kind of just the story in brief. All right? So Jesus went to the cross and he died, and it was a terrible day for those who had dedicated their lives to follow him. There were a group of people that had dedicated the last 3 years or so to following Jesus. It was especially well known are the 12 disciples. One of them betrayed him, and that's how the soldiers came and took him. There were also many women that followed him. One woman in particular, Mary Magdalene, she actually had been possessed by many demons, and Jesus freed her of that, and I'm sure that she realized and understood clearly, like we all should, that she just owed everything to Jesus. And she was one of those people that watched Jesus die on the cross, and it was very painful. It was, I think, the way that I thought about it is like, it's watching all your hopes and dreams just die at once. I remember September 11th, 2001, seeing the World Trade Centers come down and watching that. It's like you saw that and you couldn't get it out of your mind. It was just playing on a track again and again in your head. I don't know. Do you guys remember that? Some of you are like, I'm too young for that. I don't remember that. But that's what it was like, seeing that again and again. I think that must have been what it was like to see Jesus die on the cross. And the next day they woke up. It was a sleepless night. They couldn't see anything but those awful memories of seeing Jesus die. And to die that kind of a violent death. And that was somebody that they had left everything for, to follow this guy. And of course, some of them had the wrong ideas. They thought, well, if I follow him, he's going to be the king and he'll give me this high position. Maybe I could sit at his right or his left or something like that. But he died, and it was a terrible day. Well, the next morning, several of the ladies, and this is just like the ladies, they got up and went to the tomb. And there was Mary Magdalene and another Mary, and it wasn't the mother of Jesus. It's the mother of one of the other disciples, and not the mother of, it's the mother of James, the son of Alphaeus, and not James, the son of Zebedee. You probably know more about James, the son of Zebedee, James and John, sons of thunder. So they go to the tomb, and they find that the stone had been rolled away. And at first, when they see this, they don't really understand what's happening. But Mary apparently runs back to the disciples, and she's worried, and she says, somebody's took the body. Somebody's taken Jesus' body. And so Simon Peter, we're gonna get to him in the second service, and John ran to the tomb. Now, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Ready for this? John actually ran faster than Peter. And it says this in the book of John. And John is the one that wrote the book of John, the one that's running. He says he ran faster. So he's like, he ran faster. He had to put that in there, right? I like that. See, if I were, I'd probably put that in there too if I were writing it. You know, you see a little bit of my personality. And now, I probably wouldn't put it if I was the one that got outrun there. Okay, but so John and Peter run to the tomb to see what's up. John gets there first, but Peter goes into the tomb first. And they go and they check it out and they see everything that's happened. And we don't exactly know the sequence of things, but it seems like they left after that. They went, they didn't, you know, probably just like guys, they don't, you know, what do we do? What do we do here? Well, I don't know. They just went back, wandered back home, trying to figure out what was next. But Mary Magdalene stayed there. And while she was there, the Lord appeared to Mary. But at first, she thought it was the gardener. And she said, where's his body? Where'd you take it? What did you do with it? And it wasn't till Jesus said, just the way that Jesus would say this, he said, Mary. 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 I don't know exactly how he said it, but he said her name just the way that she was used to Jesus saying it. And her eyes were open, and she realized and understood that it was Jesus. And that was the beginning of the events. And then she goes back and she tells the disciples, and Jesus appears to the disciples. And we're going to see some of that here. I'm going to read some of that to you as we go into this. But as Eric introduced, we're going to try to look at it through the eyes of Thomas, who was one of the 12 disciples. And he's not the most well-known, but he's not the least known. He has several times when he comes up as kind of key moments in the scripture. But overall, we don't know a lot about him. For instance, in the second service, we know a lot about Peter. There's just tons to know and say about Peter. But we do know that Thomas was called to be one of the 12 disciples. That's one of the 12 men who dedicated those 3 years to following Jesus everywhere he went, and that Jesus sent out on missions to reach people. Now, three times in the book of John, he's called the twin. The twin. Because he was a twin. And the name Thomas itself is derived from Hebrew or Aramaic, because the words are very similar words for twin. Sounds a lot like it. You also may have heard him called Didymus in the King James. In fact, that's what it says, Didymus, which is actually not really so much of a name, but it's a word. It's a Greek word that means twin. Right? So both his name Thomas and his name Didymus mean twin. Now, we don't know about the other half of his, you know, his other brother. We don't know. You know, I suppose he could have had a twin sister even. You know, we don't know. We don't know the details of that. But he was a twin, and he was quoted in the Bible. Like some guys are talked about, and they never get any quotes in the Bible. They don't say anything, right? They don't come up in the Bible. What they say doesn't come up. Thomas is quoted 4 times in the Bible, and they're all in the Gospel of John. Now, his presence is mentioned other times. So let's briefly talk about those quotes real quick. Number one, you remember when Lazarus had died and Jesus was called by his sister and family to go there? And he was called before to go there to heal him because he had been sick. But Jesus delayed in going to Bethany where they were. And he said he delayed because he loved Lazarus. It's kind of a confusing thing to think. He didn't go to him right away, but he delayed 4 days because he loved him. But then Lazarus died, but then when he went there. And see, this is how God thinks about things differently than we think about them. But when he was talking to his disciples, he said, we're going to go to see Lazarus because Lazarus has fallen asleep. And his disciples are like some of us are like just very literal, you know, like, okay, well, he's fallen asleep. Well, can't somebody just wake him up? You know, he's probably okay. And this is what happens. The disciple said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there so that you may believe. The point was, and why Jesus did what he was doing, so that people could see the miracle and believe. He went and he raised Lazarus from the dead. And you remember earlier on I said that Jesus was, you know, I talked about the resurrection. He's the only one. He's the only one that's raised himself from the dead. Now, there are other people that Jesus raised from the dead or some of the prophets raised from the dead. But Jesus went there and he left it 4 days. What? Why did he leave it 4 days? And why did he do that? And why was that a matter of love? People would really know this guy was dead. Because sometimes people would think somebody was dead and they're like, oh, he's not dead. You ever heard that term dead ringer? He's a dead ringer. You know what that comes from? That comes from the bell they used to put in the coffin in case somebody really wasn't dead. And then they rang the bell. I'm not really dead. Because that's the way things were back in the old days, you know. And this is even beyond that. But you wait 4 days, somebody's really dead and it begins to stink even, right? That was what happened. So he's saying, we're going to go. We're going to wake him up from the dead. And this is going to happen, and I'm glad it's happening so that you can believe. So he says, but let us go to him. So Thomas, and this is where Thomas gets his first quote, called the twin. It says, so Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Interesting quote, right? A couple different ways you can take this. I think on the negative sense, and this kind of fits in the negative and the positive. They were going back towards Jerusalem. Guess what was waiting for Jesus in Jerusalem? And guess what people wanted to do to Jesus? They wanted to kill him. And they're like, we're going to go back to this dangerous place. We're all going to die with him. Right? That might be what he meant when he said that. Or on the more positive sense, and I like, let's say we better give him the benefit of the doubt. Probably more likely to give him the benefit of the doubt. On the positive sense, it was loyalty. Let's go, even if we have to die. Are any of you brave here? Are there any brave men in the room? This could just be an example of being brave and saying, willing. I'm willing to go back with you, even if it costs us, even if we have to die with you. Now, the second time we hear from Thomas is in John chapter 14. Comes in one of the probably most important, I would say, clear Bible verses that lay out the salvation is exclusively through Jesus Christ. Now, it comes as an answer. That verse comes as an answer to what Thomas had to say. When in confusion, he makes a statement that asks the question to Jesus. He makes a statement and then he asks the question. Jesus gives him the answer in John 14, 6. And this is what he said. Jesus started, he said, and if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself that where I am, you may be also. And that's the promise that Jesus made. And he made it to all of us. That despite the fact he died, he rose again. He appeared to all these people. He ascended into heaven. He's there preparing a place for us. His promise is that he's going to come back again. And he's going to take those who are his believers, his children. He's going to take them to be with him. And he's telling this to his disciples, right? This is important stuff. And they're not getting it. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? This is Thomas, right? And when I think about Thomas, I see Thomas as this very literal, specific person. If you ever hear about like personality types, he's probably kind of like the one who's like the beaver, the planner. You know, he's got things going. He's got things all lined up. He wants them to be just right. He wants to understand things like, Jesus, well, I want you to be a little more specific, Jesus. We don't know what you're talking about. Please tell us where you're going. We don't know where you're going. And that's what Thomas said. And it was a very important question, though, for all of us, because Jesus answered with this. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it is the exclusive claim of Jesus Christ that no one can come to God, no one can be with the Father, no one is entering into heaven, no one is going to a better place without going through Jesus Christ. He's the way. Not only that, he is the truth. He is the truth. There's no truth that counters what he says. There's no other truth. You know, like today, people are like, your truth, my truth. But no, Jesus is the truth. And if anything contradicts him, it's not the truth. Amen? And you need truth for your life, and he is the truth that you need. But also, he says he's the life. He is the life. Now, a lot of times people think, oh, man, that's the life. That's the good life. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's just some, like, fun experience here on earth or something. But what life really is knowing Jesus. He's the prize, having that relationship with him. And it's something that endures past these bodies, you know, past these bodies fading away and the death we have. Life is being with Jesus. Wherever he is, and we are, and we're together, that's life. You guys remember I shared this? I like this enough, I'm going to share it again. I shared this at the Friday service, if you were there. It was a good quote from John Piper. He said, if you could think about heaven as being your favorite things in this world, all your favorite people, all the people that you love the most, all your favorite food, all your favorite activities, everything, you can do anything you wanted, everything was there, it was all the stuff that you liked the most. You know, like if it was me, like you could eat as many sticky buns as you could possibly eat, there would be no consequences whatsoever, and your stomach wouldn't even hurt, and you wouldn't even get tired and lethargic. It would just be everything, the most amazing things that you can think of, but Jesus wasn't there. Would that be heaven? No, it wouldn't be heaven. Where is heaven? Heaven is wherever Jesus is, and it's being with him, and that's what life really is. And you can have that life in this world today. That's what it means to have eternal life. When you enter that relationship with Jesus, you have that life immediately, and then it goes on beyond our life in these earthly tents, these bodies that we have. But Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And then he said this, no man comes to the Father except through me. So you and I, we can't go through any other God. We can't go through acts. A lot of people think like, hey, they're going to stand before God and they're like, well, hey, I'm a good person. I didn't murder anybody. I didn't lie as much as like some other people. I did a lot of good things. I gave money to the poor. Sometimes I went to church, read my Bible. Maybe whatever it is, whatever the collection of things it is, people think that they're going to be able to stand before a holy God and say that. But that's not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is that those things will not hold up. And that we need something more. And what we need is Jesus. And he is the life. And so that was Thomas there. Now, quote number 3 and 4 come from our text in John chapter 20, starting in verse 19. And this was after those events that I mentioned. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus' resurrected body goes and appears to them through the locked doors. Because something's different, even though he has this resurrected, he's got this body, but he's resurrected. This body is different, and he can move through doors and walls and things. And he's in there, and he appears to them, but he has a physical body, and he shows them his physical body, excuse me. And the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Of course they were glad when they saw the Lord, because of, man, just you think about what they had gone through. And Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And he's telling them about their mission and what they're going to do. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." He's giving them authority to do the work, to represent him on earth. And to be his hands and to be his feet. Kind of an interesting how that actually fits with Pentecost and the Holy Spirit comes. I think this is more like he's kind of describing what's going to happen, and then the Holy Spirit actually comes in the book of Acts at Pentecost. Now here's a key part here. Now Thomas, One of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." "We have seen the Lord." Thomas wasn't there. But he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." That's what Thomas said. He said, "Unless I see it myself, unless I touch it myself, I'm not going to take your word for it. I have to see it myself. And if I don't see it myself, I'm never going to believe this." And that was Thomas. And that's who we're focusing on today. So through Thomas' eyes, it wasn't enough for him to hear about the resurrection. He had to see it. Right? He had to see it. And sometimes he's given the name Doubting Thomas because of that. It's maybe not a completely fair name because he was not necessarily like a guy that's doubting like all his life. And he comes and he finishes really strong in this. It says, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. So there was this 8 day period that all these other disciples had seen Jesus and they were believing and they were excited about what happens. And Thomas was still down and Thomas didn't believe that Jesus had raised from the dead. So they are together again, but this time Thomas is with them. And although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And again, I mention this again. This is something that we see is mentioned on purpose. It keeps mentioned. The doors are locked. No problem for Jesus. He gets in. He's there with them. He says, "Peace be with you." He's giving them and sharing his peace with them. Then he said to Thomas, calls Thomas over, "Put your finger here. See my hands and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Now, Jesus didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do that for Thomas, but he did. And he had a plan for Thomas. And of course, he doesn't do this kind of thing for everybody. Kind of like if somebody says, "I need you to do exactly this for me to believe." Like I have had talked to people about the Lord and I've heard people say, "Well, I'll believe if Jesus appears to me." And it's like, that might work that way every once in a while for some people, but it doesn't work that way for everybody. In this case, it did. By God's grace, Jesus appeared to me. He said, "Here, touch me. Look at it. Feel it. I'm real. I'm alive. Don't disbelieve, but believe." Now, here's where Thomas isn't. If he was doubting Thomas, he's no longer doubting Thomas. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." A great verse right there that reminds us that when we believe in the Trinity, we believe that Jesus is not only the Son of God, but he's God. He's God the Son. Get into that more later if you want to know more about that. He confesses him to be his Lord, his Master, his Ruler, but his God. His God. And Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen me and yet have believed." Now, I want to tell you that verse is really important. Because he says it's good that you believe, but you've believed me because you see me. But you know what's going to be even better? When people don't have this experience. And they're not able to look at my side, look at my hands. But they're just able to hear the good news, the gospel. They'll be able to hear it and they'll be able to believe. Those people are going to be truly blessed. But guess who that is? That is each and every one of us that believes today, because we're not seeing Jesus appear to us. He's ascended into heaven. He's not coming here in his physical body and appearing to us in this way behind locked doors. He does it through the Spirit. He does it through the Word. But he does it by the information that we hear in the gospel. We hear it and we have the opportunity to believe. So if you today will hear and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ without seeing it, I know it's hard to believe. Really, and I actually hope for each and every person here, you could say, like, if I knew that were true that Jesus really was God and he really died and he really rose from the dead and he really did it because I'm a sinner and I needed somebody to pay for my sins and that he loved me so much that he did that for me and he offered himself to me and if I only believe in him and receive him into my life, surrender myself to him, if I really do that, he'll save me from my sins and no matter what happens, I'm going to go and live in eternity with him in heaven. I'd like to believe that every single one of us here, if we could say, if I really believe that, I want that for my life, I would take that if I know that it's true. Maybe you're like Thomas and you're doubting. Maybe you come with doubts or something. I think all you can do is be honest about that. That's all anyone asks you. Nobody asks anybody to fake it. But we will never relent from what the Bible says. This is actually what life is all about. And this is what the call is. And this is what the offer is. Would you just believe this? Would you just believe that there's a God that loves you? And he sent his one and only son to come and die on the cross for you. And then he paid the price. But that he's God and he's powerful and he can do what he wants to do. And he died and he gave his life. He really died. But he took it up again. And he said, if you will just believe me, if you will just believe me, start by believing that I love you that much. That I will come into your life and I will give you a brand new life. And I will change you. Now, sometimes you'll realize, you look at yourself and be like, man, I'd like to be changed a little bit more because I'm still so far behind. But he's gracious and he's good and he's there. So that's the blessing. Blessed are those who will believe. Yes. Now, this is what the book, like it's a key statement in the book here about why the book was written, the book of John. He says, now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's the Greek for the Messiah. He's the anointed one, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. And that's what it really all comes down to, is life in Jesus' name. So I want to close just with this last thought here. You think about the most important information that you've heard this week. The most important information that you've heard this week. There's nothing more important than what you just heard. Amen. That's the most important information that you have heard all week. Hallelujah. About who Jesus is and what he's done for you. Now, you might not think that. You might not believe that. You might not understand that. That's possible. I hope not. I hope that you understand and think about it. Now, if you'd like to give your life to Jesus today, if you're here and you'd like to give your life to Jesus, I want to tell you, you don't have to go on a long journey. You don't have to take a bunch of classes. In fact, like the very best thing to do is just to talk to him privately yourself and just say, you know, I heard that. I believe that. I want you in my life. I want your death to cover my sins. And I want to be a Christian. Praise the Lord. Now, being a Christian was at first an insult, by the way. It was kind of meant to be, oh, you little Christ. But people who were believers heard that and said, I kind of like that. Amen. I'm a Christian. Amen. And I'm going to identify with Jesus Christ and follow him because I know that he loved me that much that he died for me. So that's a free gift that's offered. Now, if you have received Christ in your life, today is a great day to just get closer to him, to just draw near to him, to thank him for what he's done, to maybe take a deeper level of commitment to following him more closely. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here and listening to that. And I hope that you have just a wonderful day and blessed. And I hope that you just really feel the presence of the Lord through everything today. Amen. Let's pray. Dear gracious Father, thank you so much for sending us your Son. Thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness in our lives. And we ask today, Lord, that we could understand and hear and believe. And if there are those here with doubts, I pray you help us to work through our doubts. Help us to doubt other things that we put trust in that are not you, Lord, and to have faith and confidence in you. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. We pray all this in the name of Jesus that is above all names. Amen.